Hello again. It's now a full day later, full day after I presented the first two portions of this month's response. And I woke up this morning realizing that there was something else that I needed to comment on. And in order to make this comment, I'm going to remain focused on the world of apparent form. Throughout all of what I've been presenting over the years, I've been pointing out that existence is ultimately without form. There is no possible way of explaining it in any true fashion, and that no one is making any of it happen. We don't create ourselves, and therefore we don't create anything else. We don't create our particular needs, interests, concerns, urges, abilities, or lack of abilities. Therefore, we don't really prompt anything else. Along with all of that, I've also been stating that even though the world of apparent form is not the true sense of existence, that existence doesn't have any actual form, the fact that all of these apparent forms are changing, the fact is that apparent form still presents itself. And I've been further stating that this great unformed event, which presents itself as appearances of form, even though there is no actual form there, because all of these forms are changing, this great formless happening presents itself as having the appearance of form. And within the world of apparent form, each and every form is unique. And I've pointed this out time and time again, that no two snowflakes are identical, no two leaves are identical, no two people have an identical pulse rate or breath rate, no two people have the same skin composition. And as within the world of form and this description of the world of science in its investigations, as scientists become more and more refined in their examination of the human form, they are coming to say more and more that each and every human being is unique. Now, I'm not sure how many people are really taking note of this basic fact of existence, that in this world of apparent form, each and every form is unique. And by unique, I mean different. Each and every form, apparent form, that this unformed event apparently presents is different in some way from each and every other form. And there's no way around that. Nobody has any control over that. There's no way around that. That is just a basic way that this world of apparent form presents itself. Each and every apparent form is unique, meaning each and every apparent form is different from every other apparent form in some way. In some cases, they may seem very similar, but they are different ultimately. And that's true of each and every apparent human form, each and every apparent human being. So, a non-dual perspective is not only the acknowledgement of the ultimate, unformed, indefinable, unexplainable fact of existence. It's not simply an acknowledgement of the automatic expression of existence, that this great unformed indefinable event is simply presenting itself, is also the acknowledgement of this world of apparent form. Now, I don't put a lot of emphasis on that world of apparent form because that is an expression of the mysterious eventing. So I'm not generally too concerned about how the eventing presents itself. However, in response to certain general inquiries that have come in to the website, I am now putting the focus on this world of apparent form and on these differences, the differences that exist in this world of apparent form. Because there seems to be a great confusion within the non-dual community. And it's not just within the apparent non-dual community, it's within the world of spiritual teachings in general. And it's not even within the world of spiritual teachings in general, it's within the worlds of science, philosophy, art, technology. There is a general confusion that's existing, that's presenting itself. But for this particular comment, I'm wanting to stay within, with reference to the non-dual community. And to help me make this comment, I want to draw on what is within the world of apparent form, another tradition. It's outside of science, it's outside of philosophy, it's outside of non-duality, or not so much outside of non-duality. It relates to non-duality in certain ways in its own presentation, but not very strongly. And that is a very loose tradition through the centuries of observing differences in human personality, differences in human temperament, and differences in human character. So, for the last couple of thousand years, there have been various well-known individuals that have made comments on the differences that exist in human personalities, human temperaments. And these differences are not anything that can be changed. Or these differences are not anything that can be swept aside or erased. These are, up until the 20th century, these were considered to be simply the way nature presented human beings. So from the time of Hippocrates up through Plato and Aristotle, on through the Middle Ages to someone like Geoffrey Chaucer, further on you have the French essayist Montaigne, you have individuals such as David Hume, Voltaire, Rousseau, Immanuel Kant, you have Jane Austen, you have the Bronte sisters, you have George Eliot, Tolstoy, Shakespeare, you have D.H. Lawrence, and up into more recent times you have individuals such as Rudolf Dreikers, Erich Fromm, Carl Jung. And at some point in their careers, all of these people have pointed to basic differences in human temperament, basic differences in human personality that cannot be erased. You cannot set these aside. No matter what kind of realizations you have, no matter what kind of wisdom you have, these are basic inclinations. And even though they describe these basic differences, they're not attempting to define each and every human being, because that's impossible. The list of differences would be like about 300 points that are observably different. And the combinations and permutations of that lead to an infinite number of particular personalities. However, even though we can't define any particular personality in any definite way, it's possible to observe general patterns in existence. And this is similar to the way existence expresses itself with the weather. A weatherman can generally predict whether it's going to rain tomorrow. But if I ask the weatherman what's going to be happening at exactly 4:02 in the afternoon tomorrow, how much water is going to be falling, how fast will the wind be blowing, what direction will the wind be blowing, they can't do it, and they never will be able to do it. Prediction within the world of form, the observation of the world of form, and the predictions that come from the world of form are very limited. However, within that world of apparent form, there are general forms to be acknowledged, and there are general patterns that exhibit themselves. If we examine these in any great detail, we find that these generalities fall apart. However, to some degree, these general observations seem to be useful. And again, this is noted in the world of science. You have one approach to life called Newtonian physics, from the basic teachings of Newton. And then you have what is now known as quantum physics. So within the world of Newtonian physics, they say predictions are possible and predictions are helpful. Within the world of quantum physics, they say no exact prediction is possible. Probabilities are all that can be predicted or all that can be presented. You cannot predict anything in exact detail. And this generally lies in accordance with a non-dual perspective, which says existence has apparent form, but no real form. Now, again, I want to make a comment on the world of apparent form and how the world of apparent form generally expresses itself. So there are always exceptions to what I'm going to say. This is just a general commentary. But I think it might be useful for certain individuals that are investigating a non-dual perspective. So some of the differences that have been noted over the centuries, and this is for almost 2,000 years that we know of, one of the main differences that have been noticed in the various personalities of human beings are that certain individuals approach life in a very innovative, heterodox fashion. It seems very creative to the average person, but they're always somehow approaching life in what seems to be a new way, an innovative way. That's one aspect of certain individuals, one observable aspect of their apparent form. You have other individuals that are very traditional in the way they approach life. No matter what they do, they approach it through existing traditions. They want to know what has come before, what has apparently come before. They want to learn from what has come before. Whereas the one that is always approaching things from this innovative new standpoint, they want some kind of open exploration of existence. They're a little leery of the traditions because the traditions are what somebody else has discovered, and they wonder if maybe something might have been overlooked. They're also cognizant of the fact that they are different from the people who have come before and that they have their own take on life. So you have certain people that approach life in this open way, this kind of innovative way. You have other people that approach life from a traditional way, drawing upon the valuable things that have been apparently learned before and recorded before them. So they draw upon whatever they realize that they don't want to reinvent the wheel. The wheel has already been invented, and they acknowledge that the wheel has been invented and that is useful. You have other individuals that are so traditional in their approach that they focus on one particular tradition. And in that one particular tradition, they become what other people might call doctrinaire. They have an incredible appreciation of one particular tradition. So we can notice that, I mean, there's a growing popularity within the world of Buddhism, or within North America, there's a growing popularity, a growing interest in the world of Buddhism, because it presents some pretty straightforward observations of existence. It presents some pretty straightforward ways of investigating existence. However, it is a particular tradition. It is a particular way of approaching life, or any particular form of Buddhism is a very particular tradition, a very particular way of approaching life, a very particular way of observing things. And certain individuals have a great appreciation for one particular way, one particular tradition that is presenting itself. And so they become somewhat doctrinaire in their expression. Even if they acknowledge that other expressions are completely valid, in their love of that one particular tradition and their focus on that one particular tradition, it will appear to be somewhat doctrinaire, somewhat rigid. And then you have other individuals that are just skeptical of absolutely everything. It doesn't really matter what anybody is presenting. They are just skeptical of that. They question it. They're constantly skeptical of what's being presented. And they have the feeling that there is this ongoing learning process that is ever open-ended. But it's even more than that. Like, it's not just that they have an appreciation. They even are skeptical about an open-ended investigation of existence. Now, these are some general observations on different human personalities. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that somehow within the world of non-duality, within the apparent non-dual community, there seems to be a lot of assumptions about what the correct expression of a non-dual perspective is. And I'm pointing out these major differences in the world of apparent form and within the world of human personalities, these very easily observable differences, in order to point out that it doesn't really matter if you have a non-dual awakening. You cannot escape these apparent differences that existence is presenting. The non-dual perspective is not only the acknowledgement that all of existence is without form, it is without any actual explanation, and it is simply happening on its own, that no human being is causing any of it to happen, no human being is influencing any of it, because each and every aspect of a human being is simply the expression of this larger, unexplainable happening. Not only is the non-dual perspective an acknowledgement of those basic facts, it's also the acknowledgement that even if you have that perspective, there is still a world of apparent form, and it is presenting itself in endless variety, endless difference. And this endless apparent difference, this infinite apparent difference, not infinite, this endless apparent difference is the expression of the unformed. This is not an incorrect, necessarily an incorrect sense of existence. It's just simply that the world of apparent difference That is the formless expression. It is ultimately formless. If we examine that world of apparent form to any great degree, the apparent form cannot maintain itself as the reality. Because every one of us eventually walks around saying that everything is changing. And the more refined we apparently get at examining the world of form, we discover that everything is changing. And more than that, we discover that each and every apparent form is unique. Now, I'm pointing this out because I get a lot of people asking me why it is that even with their non-dual perspective, they don't get what somebody else is getting. So they go to a particular teacher, and that particular teacher is presenting this non-dual perspective in a very innovative, fresh, new fashion. And that carries with it certain aspects of character. And the person listening, even though they may understand what that person is saying, they don't end up having that particular character, that particular personality. They don't express certain temperament, a certain temperament, or certain temperamental characteristics. And they wonder why it is that they don't end up with that personality. And I'm wanting to point out that it's because having a non-dual perspective does not yield one particular personality. It doesn't yield one particular approach to life. It's a simple acknowledgement that life actually has no form, that it cannot be explained in any particular way, and that it's not a situation of human beings making any of it happen or human beings influencing any of it. However, having that realization does not get rid of the world of apparent form, and it does not give anybody any particular personality. You will end up having to be whatever existence expresses. And so it is, we have the non-dual perspective being presented in innovative ways, creative ways, very fresh ways. We have the non-dual perspective being expressed in very traditional ways. You have the non-dual perspective being expressed in doctrinaire ways, and you have the non-dual perspective being expressed in ways that seemingly want to wipe out everybody's approach to existence. A very skeptical approach to absolutely anybody else's expression. Now, I want to comment on some other differences that have been noticed. So over the centuries, various people have commented on how there are basic personalities that are very optimistic. There are personalities that are aggressive. There are personalities that are melancholic. There are other personalities that are not very easily excited. They seem to be in some kind of neutral mode in their examination of existence. They don't exhibit a lot of emotion. You have certain personalities that are oriented to sensation. They live for sensation, whether that is some kind of hedonistic pleasure-seeking or whether that is simply the acknowledgement of what we might call the very basic physical sensations of existence. You have a type of personality that is primarily focused on the senses. You have other personalities that are totally concerned with what might be considered to be proper human behavior. A consideration of what it is to be a healthy human being, a consideration of what a true human ethic would be. You have other personalities that are focused on the management of material resources, the management of property, the management of money. They're very practical in this approach to life. You have other personalities that are primarily focused on logical investigation. To them, a logical conceptual examination of existence is the supreme way of living. Now, I want to point out that all of us, to some degree, have all of these various aspects in us. However, certain aspects push themselves forward as our main focus. And there's nothing we can do about that because that is an expression of the unformed. You have personalities that are incredibly laid back in any situation. They're just incredibly relaxed. You have other personalities that are focused on the anything that's incredibly beautiful, all the incredible beauty of life. You have personalities that exhibit this incredible interest in the hyper-aesthetic. You have other personalities that seem to lack any particular emotion. You have certain personalities that are very inspired and they want to inspire. They want to be poetic. They want to be romantic. You have other personalities that are just totally fascinated with the world of change. They love the fact that throughout their life there will be change. And they look forward to those changes. They find those changes to be an adventure. You have other personalities that don't care for that change. No matter how much they acknowledge the change, it is not something that they're comfortable with. You have other personalities that are incredibly industrious. They make everybody else look like some lazy slug. In my particular situation, my particular personality, like compared to others, I'm some kind of, sea snail. It's like you have other personalities that are searching for some kind of power. They revel in the fact that they deal with particular ideas that carry a great deal of power. They love those ideas. You have other people oriented to service. You have some people that are constantly looking for some kind of recognition because even when they acknowledge themselves as a legitimate expression of existence, they're still basically expressed, they want some acknowledgement of who they are as a human being. You have some personalities that are religious, you have some personalities that are artistic, and in all cases, you have a personality, in every case, each personality is an assortment of all of these things. And even if there are certain differences that can be noted on one apparent plane, so you know what we might call one apparent plane, you can have the person who is innovative, the person who is traditional, the person who is doctrinaire, and the person who is incredibly skeptical of any tradition. On that particular plane, even though those differences are noticed, you have one particular quality, apparent quality, that pushes itself forward in that personality. But that's mixed up with 300 other things, 300 other planes of difference. I'm using just 300 as a general number. Many, many different observable planes of difference. So you have all of these incredible combinations and permutations that in each and every case yield a particular apparent personality. So even though these differences are observable in each and every actual case, it's not that there are groups of different personalities. It's ultimately that within the world of apparent form, each and every apparent person is a unique form, a unique assembly, a unique combination, a unique permutation of all of these other general observations of form, these general patterns that seem to present themselves. Now again, I'm making this comment because I get a lot of people writing in to me, or I find myself in conversations with a lot of people where they're expressing a concern. They're saying, yes, I relate to what you say is the non-dual perspective. Yes, I see that it's true, but how come I don't end up being like this person? So they've gone to some particular teacher, or they read a wide variety of books, and they hear this expressed in a number of different ways. And more than that, they hear it coming from a particular personality, because each and every apparent presenter of a non-dual perspective is a unique apparent form. No two non-dual presenters are identical. No two individuals with an apparent non-dual perspective present the perspective in exactly the same way. It's impossible. So when I say that each and every expression of apparent form, even though existence doesn't have any actual form, there is the appearance of form, and within that appearance of form, it's very obvious that the appearance of form presents itself in endless variety. Each and every apparent form is ultimately unique in some way. What I'm saying is, you cannot be like any other human being. You may be very similar to another human being, but you cannot be identical to another human being. So if you go to a teacher and that teacher has a particular personality and they're expressing a non-dual perspective in a way that you can relate to it, even if you have a non-dual perspective, even if you realize that your sense of existence is a non-dual perspective, you cannot end up being identical to the person presenting that non-dual perspective. You are a unique expression. So one of the demands of a non-dual awakening, one of the demands of the arising of a non-dual perspective, is the acknowledgement that each of us will ultimately present in a different way. Even if we may be presented in a very similar fashion to another person who has a non-dual perspective, in some way we're going to differ. Now, in some situations, you know, the difference is small enough that we relate to other people very easily. And in other situations, the difference of personality in personality is very radical. Because not only are there the differences that I've presented thus far, but we also have other very observable differences. So you have certain individuals, no matter what they do in life, they do it in a cooperative fashion. So they cooperate with society in general. They move through society, through apparent society, in accordance with societal rules. Then you have other personalities that are not so interested in the societal rules. They're more interested in the practical aspects of existence. They're more concerned with the practical, with dealing with life in a very practical way, and they are so focused on that, they sometimes overlook the fact that they're stepping on some of society's rules. They're stepping on what the general consensus of proper behavior is. But the fact of the matter is, they're so interested in approaching something on a very practical level that they don't really care if they upset society in general. You have also personalities that are very directive in their way of dealing with existence, in their way of relating to other human beings. So if they know something of value, if they want to share something of value, they're going to take you by your hand and they're going to lead you in that direction. Or they're going to take you by your earlobe. They're going to pinch your earlobe and they say, come this way, young man or young lady. You're going to get this right. And I'm going to explain to you what the right thing is. And then you have, you know, these are the teachers. These are the old school moms, school marms. Then you have other personalities that are not interested in directing you or leading you in a particular direction. They just want to offer information. I fall very strongly into that personality type. I'm not interested in directing anybody in existence. I'm not interested in telling somebody the right way to live. I'm offering bits of information. If you find those bits of information valuable, great. If you don't find those bits of information valuable, that's great. You have certain personalities that are very expressive. They're very outgoing. They love being in big crowds. You have other personalities that are very reserved. They just don't enjoy large crowds or the interaction of large crowds. You have certain personalities that in their basic focus, their apparent focus in life, they focus very strongly on the world of ideas. You have other personalities that are very focused on the world of sensation. You have and they use language in a different way. So those individuals that are focused on the world of sensation, they use language in a very pointing fashion. They describe in a very succinct way to whatever possibility there is to describe life in any kind of succinct way. They describe sensation. They describe the various activities of existence in simple description. They simply point to the happening of existence, the very concrete happening of existence. And then you have other personalities that are oriented to theories and systems and techniques, and they love metaphor and they love analogy, and they sometimes feel that fiction presents more of a truth than any direct description of existence, than any basic journalistic expression of existence. So we have all of these differences. Very easily observed differences within the world of apparent form, within the world of apparent observation. And from a non-dual perspective, all of these are the expression of the unformed. And all of these are the legitimate expression of the unformed. So if you go to a teacher and they have an angry personality and they present something in a very doctrinaire fashion and they're pointing to a non-dual perspective, their personality is not the one correct personality. And their one way of approaching, their one way of presenting a non-dual perspective is not the one true way of expressing a non-dual perspective. You have somebody presenting a very practical personality, expressing something in a very straightforward manner, presenting this non-dual perspective in a very straightforward manner. They present it through the use of traditional vocabularies, traditional formats, and that's great. That's one of the valid expressions of the unformed, but it's not the one true expression of the unformed. All of them are the true expression of the unformed. Now, just as a general observation, I've noticed that with the people who have written in to me over the years, or the people I've gotten into discussions with over the years, they're often wondering why it is that they seem to have a non-dual perspective, but they don't end up being like a particular teacher, or they hear a particular teacher saying, expressing a non-dual perspective in a certain way. Maybe the person has a personality that is very inspired, that loves inspiration, they're very poetic, and so they make these grandiose poetic statements about existence, and they can relate to what it is they're essentially saying, but for someone who has a very different personality, they don't get exactly what that person is presenting in that very poetic way. And then they wonder, well, am I missing something? Am I not getting something correct? You know, I remember One of the great things about living in a large community in very close quarters is you get to and the various participants within the community come from a large number of countries. So you have apparent individuals from Germany, people from Italy, people from France. And then you get into just daily discussions with these individuals, and you find that you can end up making general comments. You see general patterns in certain cultural personalities. You know, in some cases you have certain countries where you get into a discussion with an individual from that country, and they exhibit what seems to be a very general pattern, a kind of cultural personality. So you have certain personalities that are very dry in their expression. They're very specific in their use of language. They want to be very detailed in their examination of any particular issue. They pride themselves on their attention to detail and the quality that they approach anything with a consideration for a high degree of quality. So you have what could be known as a German reputation for attention to detail, for attention to quality. You have another cultural, general cultural personality that might be very expressive, very emotional, very romantic, very wild in the gesturing of their hands, so that you get into a discussion about a grocery list and it's almost like high drama, high melodrama in the way everything's being expressed. So you have this kind of, you know, people have made observations of certain cultures that express themselves in this way, perhaps the French or perhaps the Italian. And these are wonderful ways of expression. These are marvelous expressions. And they express nuances. They focus on certain nuances that other apparent cultures generally do not focus on. Again, these are just general patterns. This does not describe any particular human being in any great detail. It doesn't put anybody in any particular box. These general patterns are, in my own apparent experience, I find them useful to a certain degree, and then they become incredibly dangerous because they cannot define any particular person. Each and every person is a unique expression. Each and every person is a unique combination and permutation of some assembly of a huge number of apparent nuances. So this observation, this general observation, is not attempting to put anybody in any particular box, but it's simply addressing this concern that people seem to have, that if you have a non-dual sensibility, that it should maybe yield a particular personality, that somehow you have to end up being what's described as an enlightened being, and that that enlightened being is described in great detail in any number of traditions. But I'm pointing out that those particular traditions are expressions of one particular personality type. It's not that one is a better expression than any other. It's that they're all the expression of the formless, of the unformed. All of these apparent forms are the legitimate expression of the unformed. So if you have a large grouping of people that apparently agree on a non-dual sensibility, and I've always pointed out that a non-dual perspective is just a general perspective. It's just a general agreement. It's an agreement that existence has no particular form. It's an agreement that it cannot be explained in any particular way. It cannot be explained in any true way. It can't be explained in any way at all, in any true way. No matter how many apparent explanations arise, none of them actually apply. It's a general agreement that all of this is just happening spontaneously or automatically, or we could say it's just a happening that's simply happening on its own, that there is no human being that is causing it and no human being that is influencing it in any way. There can be that general acknowledgement. However, if you look at this broad grouping of people that have this general acknowledgement, you have apparent personalities that are very laid back. You have apparent and very innovative. They seem to be very fresh and different in the way that they present this non-dual perspective. You have certain personalities that are very traditional in the way they present it. You have, you know, and they're drawing upon existing vocabularies and what seems to have come before through a tradition. You have other personalities that are so focused on a particular tradition that they seem very rigid. Even if they aren't, they will still come across as seemingly very rigid. You have other personalities that are just skeptical of absolutely everything. And you have somebody like U.G. Krishnamurti saying, I don't want to talk about any of this. Like, none of this has got any bearing on existence. And he just does his best to pull apart any approach to life and does it in such an apparently extreme way that it leaves people incredibly frustrated. All of these are the correct enlightened personality. You have personalities that live to serve others. You have personalities that want to do anything in their power to, or they look as though they're doing everything in their power to get away from society. You have outgoing personalities. You have reserved personalities. You have very directing personalities. You have personalities, the last thing they want to do is direct anybody. They simply want to offer helpful information. You have personalities that are primarily oriented toward getting along with society. They have an interest in society. They think society is very important. And you have other personalities that are just focused on the practical ways of getting through life. And they're so focused on the practical addressing of certain situations in life that they sometimes step on the societal rules. They ignore what the general society accepts as being acceptable. And therefore, they find themselves being criticized by society in general. Not because they intentionally wanted to hurt society or ignore society. It's just simply they have this primary focus on addressing day-to-day living in a very practical way. They're the people who want to get the job done and to hell with everybody else. I listened to a very interesting interview with a woman the other day on the radio. She was acknowledging that she's a sociopath. And she's written a book about her life as a sociopath. Now, during the interview, the interviewer said, well, did you write this book in order to help people? And she said, no, I don't think I ever have wanted to help anybody. It's just that I got tired of sociopaths being depicted as, you know, as evil, as something like this character, Dexter on television. There's always, there, you know, the word sociopath has come to have this kind of evil aura to it, and she was just wanting to, in a very matter-of-fact way, point out that being a sociopath has nothing to do with being evil. And she was pointing out that she has intimate contact. She is intimate with other human beings, but her frame of intimacy is very different from any other human being. And she pointed out that her only intimate connection with another human being is to attempt to destroy their life situation. And she was trying to express that this is not something, she does not want to hurt people. This is the only way, the only type of relationship in which she can feel intimately connected with another human being. And she pointed out that society contains many of these situations. So within athletic competitions, athletes want to defeat another athlete, and that's an acceptable relationship. She points out that within the world of business, if you open up a gas station on one side of the street and another person opens up another gas station on the other side of the street, they each want to put the other one out of business. They want to beat the other person, and that's an acceptable intimate relationship within society. So she was simply pointing out that a sociopathic relationship with existence, a sociopathic approach to existence, is not evil. It is one of the legitimate intimate relationships within existence. And this is very much in accordance with a non-dual perspective. That whatever happens is the legitimate expression of existence. Nothing is being done from somebody deciding to be evil. In fact, notions of good and bad cease to make any real sense. There's just what gets presented. However, that doesn't mean we have to be stupid in this. So for instance, even though I love this woman's expression, I thought it was incredibly free, incredibly fresh, it was incredibly spacious, I wouldn't want to necessarily hang out with her, because I know that her only intimate connection with me is to be in some kind of competition with me and in some way destroy my life. So I can acknowledge that that's a legitimate expression of existence. And for me, it's an incredibly interesting expression of existence, but I don't particularly want to hang out with it. Anyway, I'm starting to move into some real asides here, and I wanted to make this comment in direct response to all of these people who have written in to me saying, you know, I understand what you're saying. I have this non-dual sensibility, but I don't seem to live in a constant bliss state that I hear this person talking about, or I don't seem to be as measured and reserved and objective as this particular teacher, or I don't seem to be as wildly artistic and free as this person. And I'm simply wanting to point out that it doesn't matter what teacher is presenting a non-dual perspective, you can't have their personality. You are a unique expression, even if you have what is generally called a non-dual awakening or enlightenment. You cannot sweep aside these differences that the formless expresses. You will be a unique expression. And so there is a demand within this acknowledgement that you're going to have to simply be whatever existence expresses. There is never anything wrong with the expression of existence. There can never possibly be anything wrong with the expression of existence. There can never be anything wrong with the expression of this totally indefinable, undivided, formless or unformed dance of existence, because there is only a totally unexplainable, unformed dance, undivided dance, a totally mysterious, unexplainable parade of apparent form. And within that world of apparent form, each and every expression of form is unique. So one could say that a non-dual perspective also is the acknowledgement of your own unique adventure in existence. So within that world of apparent form, it has to be the acknowledgement that your particular life journey is unique, your particular personality will be unique. It may be similar to another apparent person, but in some way, it has to be unique. And so it becomes the thrill of not knowing what your expression is actually going to express. It's the thrill of knowing that in some way it is absolutely unique within that world of apparent form. It cannot be boxed into any particular definition. It cannot be what has come before. So if you see somebody expressing themselves in a certain way, you can't be that, because that's one expression, and if they're older than, apparently older than you, that has come before you. And you cannot be anything that has come before. Now, in order to wrap this all up, I want to once again remind you that my particular expression is a unique expression. You cannot have my particular sensibility. I can express what is generally known as a non-dual perspective, but that's a general acknowledgement of certain factors. This does not mean that if you agree with me, you will be able to agree with me absolutely or totally. And it does not mean that you will end up with my particular personality. And it's the same for everybody else out there that's presenting a non-dual perspective. So as I always say, this is not the one true way of looking at life. This is not the one and only way that life expresses itself. However, it is one of the general mysterious expressions of existence. If you relate to it, that's great. If you don't relate to it, that's great. There will be something else that you relate to. There will be some other way that you're expressed in existence, and that's just as valid as this particular expression. So this is offered simply for your consideration. You may find it supportive in some way, or you may feel that it's supportive in some way. You may not. Either way is fine. All right, so at this point, I'm going to say I'm not going to add anything more to this month's response. Anyway, again, take care. Bye.